Turning again to Numbers chapter 12, that has so much to say about this woman, Miriam. We want to conclude the message that we ministered to in this morning and not go over what we heard this morning, other than to say that we considered, first of all, the ministry of Miriam. She was indeed the prophetess of praise. And then we got to look at the malice of Miriam. Noted the great change that come about in her life. Don't know why the change took place, but over the intervening years, from the time she was at the Red Sea leading the women of the camp of Israel in the praise of God, we find her now in Numbers 12, and she has become very critical. She has a critical spirit. She's become very bitter against her own brother Moses. Bitter against the Lord's servant who led Israel out of Egypt. We noted also her companion. If you like, her companion in crime. Namely her brother Aaron. We noted that Aaron seemed to have been someone who was easily led, easily influenced. And Miriam has evidently influenced Aaron. Because, as we noted, first verse, Numbers 12, Miriam is mentioned first. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? They said. But it was Miriam who led the way. And that leads us now to consider the criticism that came from Miriam. At the Red Sea, Miriam led the musical praise, but now she leads the malice plot against Moses. Miriam took the lead in this particular complaint and this criticism of Moses. And so we notice who led the criticism. The very fact that her name is mentioned first is an indication that Miriam led the criticism. She wanted a place of prominence. Certainly she got it. When it came to criticizing Moses, she wanted that place of prominence that was not hers. We noted that this morning in Micah 6 and 4. Miriam was mentioned last by the Lord. Moses was first. But here we see Miriam taking first place when it came to criticizing the Lord's servant. That's what was wrong with Miriam. Miriam didn't know her place. She had no right to speak against Moses in this manner. No right at all. She spoke out of turn. Look carefully. This was not a complaint or criticism of Moses and his marriage to an Ethiopian woman. It had nothing to do with that. Look at the words. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. And here is the Holy Spirit's commentary, as it were, on that incident. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. As though to say, so what? He did marry an Ethiopian woman, but so what? For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And then the next verse begins with, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? And so you see, the complaints, the criticism, basically had nothing to do with the partner whom Moses had married. It had nothing to do with his marriage. It had to do with his ministry. She laid the criticism against Moses with regard to his ministry. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. I want you to notice something there. Here was Miriam leading the criticism of Moses, but she was really criticizing the Lord. She's criticizing the Lord. Her criticism of Moses was a criticism of the Lord. You recall over in Acts 9, when the Lord met with Saul of Tarsus. And you recall what the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church. And yet the Lord says, why persecutest thou me? Saul's sin against the church was a sin against the God of heaven. Miriam's sin against Moses was a sin against the Lord. Miriam's criticism of Moses was a criticism of the Lord. She thought that she was as good as Moses. She thought she should have had a place, like the place or the position that Moses held. Because she says, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? What about me? What about us? What about Aaron and I? Should the Lord not have spoken by me also? What do you have here? You have a woman who is jealous of Moses. You have a woman who is full of pride. And that has led to this bitterness and to this criticism and to this malice against Moses. Pride is a terrible thing. Solomon tells us, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. The Lord will not spare. Proverbs 6 and verse 34. The Lord will not spare in the day of vengeance. And so in her jealousy, she did not spare her own brother, but spoke maliciously against him and about him. Saul was a man who was filled with jealousy. He was jealous of God's anointed. He was jealous of King David because David had slain Goliath. And the women sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul was jealous. And the root of bitterness grew up in Saul's heart. And malice and hatred for David to such an extent that you and I know that Saul sought the life of David. He tried, he made a number of attempts to kill David. When you think of Miriam and the jealousy that had developed in her heart and the malice, that was good enough reason for the Lord not to speak through Miriam. It shows us that she was not a candidate. She could not hold any position whereby the Lord could speak through her. How could the Lord speak through such an individual who was so critical and so full of jealousy and pride? Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And here was Miriam, and she was so proud, and she thought she was better than Moses. You know how it is. When people criticize someone else, and criticize a brother. In this case, it was Miriam's fleshly brother. But what about our spiritual brothers and sisters? And we criticize someone and we say, oh, I would never do that. Oh, that's something I would never do. In other words, we're saying, I'm so much better than that person. I would never do that. That's pride. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. But we notice not only who led the criticism, but we notice also who was listening to the criticism. For verse 2 tells us, and the Lord heard it. Miriam forgot about that. She was so taken up with her criticism of Moses, she forgot. The Lord was listening. You see, the Lord will listen to our praise, but he'll also listen to our criticism. You read there, in the beginning of the chapter, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. And they, verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Look at chapter 11 and verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. The Lord heard it. The Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. The Lord heard Miriam and Aaron. And it all displeased the Lord. Such criticism always displeases the Lord. And in the light of this, in the light of the fact that the Lord hears us, listens to our conversations, hears what we say, let us take to heart the advice of David. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Psalm 34, verse 13. And in another psalm, Psalm 141, verse 3, David made this his prayer. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And we can say things and think nobody's listening. Nobody hears us. And the person that we're criticizing is out of earshot. They don't know what we're saying about them, but the Lord does. Because the Lord hears. And the Lord heard what Miriam said. We go on and we then notice the call to Miriam. We have seen the criticism of Miriam and the companion. of Miriam. Now we have here the call to Miriam. The Lord had heard what she said. And we read in verse 4, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam." You'll notice the Lord has put the trio in their proper places. Moses is once again first. The Lord honors Moses before the face of Miriam. "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they were, and they three came out. You'll notice the place. We've already just mentioned there that Moses once again takes up his proper place in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord puts them there. Miriam was first in verse 1, but now she's in her proper place. She was of the mind to promote herself. She wanted to be first. She is, as it were, the female equivalent to Diotrephes. We read about in the New Testament. We read about him in 3 John verses 9 and 10. Diotrephes. This is what John said about Diotrephes. "It is one who loveth to have the preeminence among them," among the brethren. "Prating against us," God's servant, "prating against us with malicious words." Just like Miriam, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, prating against us with malicious words. But here we see that the Lord puts Miriam in her place. As we mentioned this morning in passing, the Lord has his ways of putting us in our place. We get a little bit full of ourselves at times. The Lord can put us in our place. The Lord put Haman in his place. That proud individual. The Lord put Haman in his place. The Lord put Manasseh in his place. Manasseh so proud and so spiteful against his father. Would have nothing to do with the religion of his father. Until Manasseh was taken captive and he fell among thorns. And in his trial he called upon the Lord. Lord knows how to put us in our place. And he certainly put Miriam in her place. The Savior has said, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased." The word means made low. "And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So there's the place for Miriam. Next we see the person. The Lord had called Miriam out along with Aaron and Moses, and they came out to the tabernacle. And in verse 5 we read, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. I have listened to your words. I have listened to what you had to say about my servant Moses. Now hear my words." And the Lord speaks to Miriam about Moses, the person she was so critical of, the person she was so jealous of. the Lord has a word for Miriam about Moses. Here's the Lord coming to the side of his servant Moses. Here's the Lord taking the part of Moses. In our study of the women of the Bible, we've already noted that. How the Lord came to the side of those who came under criticism. We noted last week the woman of the city who was a sinner. And Simon the Pharisee wondered at the behavior of this woman. He was critical of the behavior of this woman, and in so being he was critical of the Lord. If this man were a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. And he criticized the woman, but the Lord came to her side and defended her. When Mary came to the Lord with the alabaster box of ointment and broke the box and anointed the Savior, old Judas cried out, why was this waste of the ointment made? It could have been sold for more than 200 pence and the money given to the poor. And what the Lord said, let her alone. Just let her alone. The Lord came to her side. And here Moses, and you'll notice Moses hasn't said anything. Moses has remained silent through all of this. And the Lord comes to the side of Moses and he defends Moses. Reference is first of all made to the character of Moses. You look there in verse 3. Verse 2 ends, and the Lord heard it. And then in parenthesis we have the words, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. What is written in verse 3 about Moses should have been enough to rebuke Miriam. This proud woman, this jealous woman, this malicious woman. And here the word is that Moses was a man who was very meek above all the men. No such meekness was found in Miriam. Moses was Christ-like. But the Lord said of himself that he was meek and lowly of heart. Here's a Christ-like man, and here you have carnal and fleshly and bitter Miriam criticizing a Christ-like man. She was so out of order. It's not a very pretty picture we have here of Miriam. Not at all. Not only do you have the character of Moses, you have the calling of Moses. He spoke to her about the calling of Moses. The Lord points out to Miriam that if she had been called to be a prophetess in this sense of preaching the word, then the Lord would have spoken to her. Hear now my words, verse 6. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Miriam, if you were called to be a prophet the way Moses was, I would have spoken unto you in visions and in dreams. But I've never communicated to you in this fashion. And I didn't even communicate to Moses in this fashion. For verse 7, the Lord says, my servant Moses is not so. I don't communicate with Moses through visions and dreams. Verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth. The Lord was saying, Miriam, you should know something. Moses is special to me. I speak with Moses mouth to mouth. I speak directly to Moses. He would not be speaking to Miriam in visions and in dreams. She hadn't been called to be a prophetess in this sense. And here you have the communion with Moses. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The Lord says to Miriam, Moses is special to me. The Lord revealed his will to his servant Moses when he communed with him, when he spoke with him mouth to mouth. And perhaps if Miriam had spent more time in communion with the Lord, perhaps if you'd spent more time in fellowship with the Lord, this root of bitterness would not have grown up in her heart. She would not have been so critical of Moses. But she evidently had not spent time with the Lord. You never read of Miriam and all that is written about Miriam in the Gospel or in the Word of God in the Old Testament. You never read of Miriam being in fellowship with God. You never read of her communing with the Lord. Never. Yet we find she's very ready to speak against Moses. Notice then the plea. The person. The Lord spoke to her about the person of Moses. He put her in her proper place, and then you have the plea there in verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even, apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He shall see my presence. He shall know me. Wherefore? Then, were you not afraid, Miriam? Were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? We know that nothing takes the Lord by surprise. But you look at those words, and it's almost as if the Lord is surprised that Miriam would go so far as to criticize and speak against the Lord's servant Moses. The Lord, as it were, was surprised. Because the Lord is angry with anyone there speaks against the Lord's servant. If you turn, please, to 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. And here there were those who were attacking the Lord's people and the Lord's servants. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 21, he suffered no man, that is the Lord, suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. We know the Lord is no respecter of persons. And here we read that the Lord rebuked kings in his defense of his people. Now the next verse says, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. My prophets, mine anointed, my called ones. That word touch, touch not mine anointed. The word touch there means to strike or to smite. And there were those who were striking out against the Lord's servants. There were those who were smiting the Lord's servants with their tongue, with the things they were saying about the Lord's servants. And the warning is given. The warning is given. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. For the Lord has said in another place, when you touch my people, you touch the apple of my eye. You know how sensitive your eye is. It shows us how sensitive the Lord is to the Lord's people being spoken against. And then you have the parting. Look there again in Numbers 12. The Lord said to Miriam, were ye not afraid? Have you no fear? Were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Look at the next verse. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. We know that the cloud represented the Lord's presence. I think that's very significant, as we will see. The Lord departed. He has been speaking to Miriam, and he has said to Miriam, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. He left her. She no longer enjoyed the Lord's presence. This shows just indeed how angry the Lord was. Miriam was left. Miriam was left with her bitterness, her jealousy, her criticism, her malice. And the Lord left Miriam. It's a terrible thing when the Lord leaves us. I'm not talking about salvation. When we're saved, we're always saved. The Lord will never leave us in salvation. But he most certainly will leave us with regard to his presence and his blessing. Will not know the blessing of the Lord. If the Lord leaves us. And the Lord left Miriam. He departed. And you know something else? There's no indication that he ever returned. I want you to notice the cost to Miriam. Miriam paid dearly for being so critical of Moses. But we're told in verse 10, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, And behold, Miriam became leprous. There's the cost. Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Why did Aaron not become leprous? Because this is proof that Miriam was the one who led the criticism against Moses. The Lord was angry with her, and he smote her with leprosy. It's a high cost, high price to pay, wasn't it? For speaking out of turn. For going there and leading Aaron to criticize Moses, their brother, the servant of the Lord. You look again at that verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And I'll tell you something. Miriam should have been very thankful that Moses was a meek man. Because we see that in spite of what Miriam said about him, and in spite of her criticism of him, we see here that Moses cared about Miriam. Here's the caring for Miriam. Look at verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. You will notice that Miriam was not the one who offered the apology. Suddenly Miriam has become very quiet. She was very forthright and upfront in her criticism of Moses, but all of a sudden she's got very quiet. Covered in leprosy. And isn't it interesting that Aaron, the one who along with Miriam was criticizing Moses, that Moses is the one that they turn to in their time of need. Aaron turned to Moses. How glad Aaron was, I'm sure, that his brother was a meek man above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And here is the meek man interceding on behalf of the one who had wronged him. Because we read in verse 13, And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Miriam, I'm sure, would have been thankful that Moses indeed was a man who was not only meek, but he was a man who did indeed speak with the Lord, mouth to mouth. That he was in such close touch with the Lord. How thankful she would have been. We don't want to get sidetracked, but you think of Moses. We're talking about Miriam tonight, but look at Moses. The man who was wronged. The man who had all manner of evil said about him and against him was the man who prayed for the person who had wronged him. That says a lot about Moses, doesn't it? Says a lot about Miriam too. She wasn't in the same league as Moses. She was nowhere near like Moses. She couldn't possibly occupy the position that Moses occupied. There was no Christ-likeness about Miriam. But there most certainly was about Moses. For in his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said this, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And that's what Moses did. Miriam had despitefully used him. So what did Moses do? He prayed for her. Just like the Lord. He hung there on the cross. And he prayed for those who had nailed him to that cross, who had despitefully used him and persecuted him. And he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." My, we have a lot to learn, haven't we? And finally, we have the memories of Miriam. The years have come and gone in Miriam's life, and all that we're left with now are memories. It has been 40 years since the Exodus. It's been 40 years since Moses, Aaron, and Miriam went before the children of Israel. It's been 40 years since Miriam led the women in their praise of the Lord at the Red Sea. And the last time we read about Miriam was here in Numbers 12. You know, the next time we read about Miriam, it's over in Numbers 20. There's nothing said about Miriam between Numbers 12 and Numbers 20. And look at what we have in Numbers 20 and verse 1. "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month," that is the first month of the 40th year. "And the people abode in Kadesh." Look at this. Look at this. "And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Between Numbers 12 and Numbers 20, you have a period of quite a number of years. The majority of those 40 years. And yet, the remarkable thing is, there's no mention of Miriam. Here is what I might call Miriam's disappearance. After that incident with Moses, after that time she criticized Moses, and the Lord dealt with her, and the Lord departed from her, there's no mention of Miriam. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing about what she did. Nothing about what she accomplished. To me, that's quite remarkable. That a woman who was so prominent in the camp of Israel, who led the women in their singing, who was the prophetess of praise,
She just disappears.
And I feared that this was part of God's judgment upon her for murmuring against Moses. For the Lord never, it would appear, used her again. The Lord passed her by. The Lord passed her by. Remember something. Aaron was the one who came to Moses and told Moses, we have been foolish. We have sinned. Aaron was the one who apologized. Aaron was the one who repented. Aaron was the one who confessed his sin. Nothing came from Miriam. And all through those years, through all those years, you know what I believe? I believe Miriam carried this grudge against Moses. I believe she lived with this root of bitterness. And she missed out with God. The Lord passed her by as far as service was concerned. And all those years of silence, Miriam refused to let go. She refused to let go of that root of bitterness against Moses. And how she paid for it. If Miriam's disappearance. You have Miriam's deed. How indeed will Miriam be remembered? To turn please to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy 24. Verses 8 and 9. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Verse 9, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. This is how Miriam's remembered. She's remembered by her deed. She's remembered by what she did. And how the Lord dealt with her when she spoke against God's choice servant. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. In other words, a warning is being sounded. You better heed the word of God. You better heed my commandments. Because remember what I did unto Miriam. We remembered Mary Magdalene. We remember Mary Magdalene for her devotion. And that woman who was the sinner from the streets, we remember her for her devotion. We remember Abigail for her beauty and her humility. But we remember Miriam for her bitterness. And her malice. Nothing very beautiful about Miriam's appearance either. Well, we don't know what she looked like physically, but certainly spiritually. And if her name is anything to go by, there's no beauty to be seen in Miriam. Miriam means thick, strong. Miriam is the Hebrew equivalent to the New Testament Mary. And you recall what Mary means. Mary means bitterness. Isn't that interesting? It means bitterness. And unfortunately, Miriam lived up to her name. Believer, we have a name to live up to. It's the name Christian. In Psalm 90, verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And the last point, you have Miriam's death. The children of Israel had journeyed into the desert of Zin, and it was there that Miriam died. Look at what it says there in Numbers 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin, and Miriam died there. It just seems to me to be symbolic of Miriam's life after what she did against Moses. She lived in the desert spiritually. And that's where she died. She could have lived a fruitful life. She could have died having accomplished much for the Lord. But she died in the desert. You know the sad commentary on Miriam? It seemed as if nobody cared. And she wasn't missed. And she died. Because it says in Numbers 20 and 1. And Miriam died there. And was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they came murmuring to Moses. There's no weeping. There's no mention of a funeral. She died and was buried. No sadness. No sense of loss. No sooner was she buried than the children of Israel went about their business looking for water. And what a contrast to the death of Moses. When Moses died, we're told in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. With this we close. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Quite a contrast. Moses was missed when he died. And it appears that bitter, critical Miriam was not missed at all. Sad commentary on someone's life, isn't it? We have considered another one of the women of the Word of God. We have seen some wonderful women, met some wonderful women. But I'm afraid Miriam's not numbered amongst them. Let us learn from Miriam and from all the other women that we have considered. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, again we come to thy word, we stand before thy word. And O loving God, we pray that we'll be more like Moses, who was missed when thy Lord does call him home. But Lord, we see Miriam, and she didn't even get into the promised land. She died before they entered the land of promise. Oh, loving God, what a sad end to a life that started out so promisingly. Started out with so much promise. Lord, it reminds us again of that saying, it's not how a man begins that matters, but it's how he ends. Lord, may we all end well. Miriam ended her days in the desert. Moses ended his days on a mountain. O gracious God, bless thy word to our hearts tonight.